Krista Wessel, and this is On Deck with Young Musicians, where every Saturday at 5 o'clock on All Classical Portland, we celebrate young musicians in our community. Today, we will get to know 12-year-old Tristan Dieters. Yes, we will get to know a 12-year-old today. Honestly, it's not very often that I encounter a 12-year-old as expressive and communicative as Tristan. I first met him when he and his dad attended a Thursdays at 3 performance. They were in the audience watching Tristan's cello teacher perform live on air. And after the concert, as I was chatting with them, I immediately sensed Tristan's love of music. It radiates from him. So I asked Tristan if he'd be interested in being interviewed for On Deck, and I was thrilled that his enthusiastic reply was yes, because I learned that not only does Tristan Dieters have a love of classical music, but he also has a love of a particular classical music radio station. So as we were sitting down, you told me that you listened to one radio station.
Only one.
And what is it?
All Classical Portland. It's pretty much when I get in the car and the car starts, it's all classical. When we get out of the car, it's all classical. That's pretty much all we listen to. It's great.
Is that your choice?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when my mom's alone, she listens to like country music, and I switch it to All Class 89.9 because it's better.
So at the point at which you discovered All Classical Portland, were you already a musician?
Yes, I had been playing the cello for a year and the piano for 2 years.
Got it. So how did those instruments come into your life?
Well, the piano, it was pretty much my dad was like, hey, you want to play the piano? And I'm like, sure. And so then he bought us a piano and he was my teacher for the first like 3 or 4 years of my piano playing career. And I was late to school sometimes. I was like, Dad, I can play Hot Cross Buns on the piano. And he's like, you have to go to school. And I'm like, no, I want to play the piano all day.
Really? You loved it that much?
Yeah. And it was more relaxed. Like he wasn't like practice 30 minutes a day. He's like, just if you want to have fun, if you're bored, if you love it, just play the piano and you'll get better. And then once you get better, anything's possible. And then the cello, our parents were kind of like, yeah, we kind of want you to play a string instrument. So they gave me the choice, either the violin or the cello. And I really liked both instruments. But like one thing is that the violin's E string sounds really, really high to me. And it kind of sometimes it's like to the point where it's like breaks my eardrums. And so I chose the cello because, first of all, like the deep C string, and it just sounds so rich, and I got to sit down. So that's a really good thing about the cello that I like. I also moved to Vienna for a year. The only thing we worked on that year was the Bach Cello Suite Prelude.
Wow.
It was the only thing we worked on.
Wow.
Every lesson. And So that got repetitive, like really repetitive. Like, all right, for practice, you're going to practice measure 38 to 42. And then you'd practice that, and then you'd go over that in the lesson, and she'd be like, practice measures 38 to 42 again this week.
Oh, my gosh.
And then because, like, if you think about it, it's not a long, really long piece. It's, like, 2 minutes. And working a whole year with lessons that are an hour long each week, and I actually had 45-minute lessons 2 times a week. And
wow,
that was in each lesson was just working on that.
Wow.
And so it was really, really weird. Just, like, we worked a whole week on something, and she's like, nope, you got to do it again.
Oh my gosh, was that depressing? Was that...
Every time that something that happened, I'm like, all right, it's another challenge.
Really?
And so it was definitely depressing sometimes when obviously you try hard when you practice. You don't just practice like, oh, I'm going to play the cello. It's more like, all right, I really want to get this done. I want to get this perfected. And you can't get anything perfect, but you can get it close to perfect. But when you do something like that, and you don't get what you need or don't get what your teacher needs or wants, and you have to do it again, it definitely kind of, it's saddening.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, it's just like that sadness transitions into strength.
Huh.
And gives you more drive and gives me more drive to perfect the parts that I need to get perfected.
Okay, so you spent a year in Vienna. Was this, like, you're 12 now. How old were you when you did that?
I guess when we were moving in August to go there, I was 10.
So your whole family moved to Vienna?
Yeah, okay. And that was a challenge because I got a student visa because I was going to a school, but my parents couldn't come any other way. So my dad had to go to school. So he went to a university. It had been 40 years since he'd gone to school. And it was really weird at the train station. Like, bye, Dad. You're going to school.
Have a good day at school,
yeah,
Dad.
And then he'd just look at me like, you know I don't want to do this, but I'm doing this for you. And I was like, yeah, bye. And then halfway through the school year, he quit.
Because, oh, really?
Because he was just like, I'm done. I can't go to school every Wednesday for 6 hours. But then that limited us to 1 year in Vienna. That was all I really needed. I was getting homesick from America because, it's America. I mean, nothing can beat America. I think going to Vienna was a really special experience because it's like the home of classical music.
Right.
Like, there's the Central Cemetery, which Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, Haydn, all these composers are buried. It was such a surprise to see these composers because I had no idea. And it's just an overwhelming feeling of connection when you're playing an instrument to be in Vienna, which is a magical place. And, like, it's amazing to be there.
Did it give you chills to, like...
Yeah, it was just... Like, you just feel like I stood where Mozart stood. I stood where Mozart conducted his Don Giovanni overture. It was just, like, the Vienna Opera House, seeing the Magic Flute... It's just the most wonderful experience an 11-year-old could ask for.
We have been getting to know Tristan Dieters. He is now 12 years old and is a student at Oregon Episcopal School. In the background, we're hearing him perform with the school's Advanced String Ensemble. We'll continue our interview in just a moment. But first, I'm Krista Wessel, and this is On Deck with Young Musicians, made possible in part by the Portland Youth Philharmonic, inviting young musicians to experience great music while making lifelong friends in one of America's top youth orchestra programs. Auditions for PYP's four ensembles will be held in June and August. PYP ensembles perform at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall and receive coaching from Oregon Symphony musicians. For audition information, you can visit portlandyouthphil.org.
I'm Tristan Dieters, and I'm 12 years old. There's always going to be someone better than you. There's always going to be someone worse for you, for that matter. But playing an instrument is not about that. It's not about being the best, or it's not a competition. It's more along the lines of enjoying what you do and loving what you do. Because if you don't love your instrument, if you don't love music, you're not going to play it well, you're not going to enjoy it, and you're not going to make people happy from your music. When you hear Yo-Yo Ma playing, you can just see in his face the amount of emotion that he puts into the song. It's crazy. And when you see, and that's one thing that I've learned, if you're not fully concentrated on the music, you're never gonna play it right. It's difficult to make a mistake in front of an audience, but that's part of the learning experience. If you never mess up, you're gonna mess up one day. No one's perfect. But if you're exposed to making a mistake, you're gonna know how to deal with it. If you don't know how to make a mistake, if you've never made a mistake, you're gonna freak out. You're gonna be like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, better start at the beginning again. And that's okay for the first time. Like, the first time I performed, I felt like I was going to die of, like, I would explode internally. It was a crazy feeling, but that's part of playing music. So
you have to learn to overcome, like, the nerves and the anxiety.
And then if you perform enough, it gets to the point where you're not nervous about it, that you're I mean, everyone's going to be nervous when you're performing in Carnegie Hall. I mean, that's just Carnegie Hall. It's like there's this air of anxiety around it. But once you start playing, you get like this engulfed in the music. You're not thinking about what people think anymore.
So I know you're 12, and this is a dumb question to be asking a 12-year-old.
What are you going to do when you grow up?
Do you feel so passionate about music that you think this might be something, like the direction of your life?
I definitely think that's a really good option. I think that I could be successful with that. But something that really, that I'm drawn to mm-hmm. is aerodynamics and airplanes.
Wow.
So I might want to be a pilot or an aeronautical engineer. But if that doesn't work out, I could always be a private pilot teacher who plays the cello for a living.
Exactly.
So it's really just, like you said, I'm 12 years old. I have no clue. I could change and I could want to be a trash person. I don't know. But I think I want to do something that's going to benefit other people. Like flying an airplane, flying people to see their dying grandmother or to see their nephew being born or whatever it is, or making people enjoy music. Because a lot of people go to the symphony not to hear the perfection of the pieces, but a lot of the times they want to hear emotion. They don't be like, oh yeah, I want to go to the symphony. I want to hear emotion. It's more along the lines of subconsciously, they want to hear something that they're not used to, something that they are connected to.
Yeah.
And so anything that's going to benefit people in the long run or just momentarily, giving them that happiness of listening to the symphony or seeing a new generation be born, it's really just wherever I go, it has to be somewhere that is helping other people.
Good for you. I like hearing you say that. And like, I don't know, I'm going to go into a career where I get $1 million.
Yeah. It's really, I feel like, I mean, it'd be great to have $1 million. I think anyone would like that. But really, it's not about the money. It's more about, do you love what you do? Like, if I'm playing in the symphony, do I really like being in the symphony? Or do I'm kind of like, oh, I just do it because I want to make a living and I want to be rich. Do what you love. If you don't do what you love, then you're not going to do it to the best you can. If you really, really love being a trash person and collecting trash, then you're going to do it better than anyone else. But if you, like, oh yeah, I'm doing this just to keep the money flowing, then obviously that's a good thing because you don't want to starve, but you're not going to really fully love what you do.
Right? That is 12-year-old Tristan Dieters. I love that he caused me to laugh deeply and think deeply in equal measure. I'm Krista Wessel. This has been On Deck with Young Musicians, where every Saturday at 5 o'clock, we celebrate young musicians in our community. And a reminder that every single episode of On Deck has been archived at our website, along with photos and videos of these kids. So to listen to this episode of On Deck again, and to find a really charming selfie that Tristan and I took together, just head to allclassical.org, click Programs, and then On Deck. Again, that's allclassical.org. And thank you for joining me today. I hope to see you on deck again next Saturday.